supply today.
Hope you had a good weekend, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I'm going to tell you about the $24,000 evening and how your tax money was spent. Are you curious? Oh, you're going to like this one. Also, Susan Boyle, remember her? The beautiful voice, but the looks not really matching the voice. The I Dreamed a Dream woman from Scotland. I say bravo to her. She's out. I'll tell you about that, what happened in America's, not America, but Britain's Got Talent. Also coming up on this show, the differences between the female brain and the male brain. That could take five shows, right, guys? Anyway, Abigail Norfleet James is going to join us, and she'll explain what those differences are. It is the summer of love in Taos, New Mexico. Bill Whaley, he'll pop on to give us the skinny on some of the things that are happening there. Dennis Hopper, of course, with a gallery opening and all kinds of cool things going on. So anyway, we'll talk about that. And, of course, the big one, GM going under, going belly up, going bankrupt. Not a shocker, I think, to anybody who's been following along this game anyway. 8 a.m., that's what's expected to happen. I'll explain the details on that and hear what some other CEOs had to say about why it's a good thing that GM is filing Chapter 11, because they had no alternative. And still, everybody continues to talk about President Obama's pick to fill Justice David Souter's seat on the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor. Will her confirmation be a smooth, swift ride, or are there going to be some bumps in the road and a huge partisan battle? Well, you'll get a taste of what it might be like when those confirmation hearings start by listening to a couple of guests on one of the Sunday morning shows, Senator Patrick Leahy and Senator Jeff Sessions, who have completely different opinions on this woman and the possibility of her confirmation. One feels like it's a big thumbs up, and the other a little more cautious. Here's what Senator Patrick Leahy had to say about Obama's nominee.
We'll talk to her about her remarks, and we will during the hearing. But in answer to the question you asked, my friend Jeff Sessions, I totally reject those kind of claims made by leaders of the Republican Party like Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh. To equate her with the head of the Ku Klux Klan, to call her a bigot, this is baloney. Nothing in her background would indicate that she is a bigot or equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan or anything else. This is a woman who has a compelling story. And growing up in the projects, her father working as a welder with a third grade education dies when she's a child. Her mother works hard as a nurse to put her through school. She works hard to put her through school, graduates with honors both in undergraduate and in law school, becomes a prosecutor, and both Senator Sessions and I are former prosecutors. We know all the life experiences you get there. She was a corporate lawyer. She spent more time on the federal, between the trial bench and the appellate bench, in the federal court than anybody in the last 100 years.
All right, so that was, of course, Leahy's taken. Everybody's talking about the comments as to whether or not she's a racist because of some of the things that she said during a Berkeley speech. We went over the whole thing three times last week on America Tonight. So that's at the heart of part of the negative take on this judge. Now, here is another opinion on Judge Sotomayor, this one from Senator Jeff Sessions.
The entire concept of the American rule of law is blindfolded justice, that the judge sets aside their personal and political and biases of any kind and gives an objective ruling on the law and on the facts. People have to believe that, or they lose respect for the law. The marvelous moral authority of the law can be undermined if people think that the decision is being made on the basis of a judge's personal views or biases or background. And I read her piece. It's very interesting. I think it's something we need to probe. But I think it goes against the great heritage of American law that calls for judges to be a neutral umpire, as John Roberts said.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Can the judge, first of all, can the judge be completely neutral? What is it that we're looking for in the justice? Specifically, Obama, when he nominated her, said that he was looking for somebody with empathy. And that was part of the reason for his choice and also her background. And then, of course, what she brings to the table having gone through three levels of the law. In other words, being a lawyer, working her way up to the judge, the whole thing, and, of course, the appointment. So it is not going to be smooth sailing. Do I think, and I'll say it again and again, I've probably said this 15 times, do I think that she will ultimately be the Supreme Court justice who fills the shoes of Justice David Souter? I'm going to say absolutely yes, because if you look at where the cards are stacked, there's no way. It doesn't matter what Newt Gingrich says, the former Speaker of the House who's on a ton of shows, or Rush Limbaugh, what he says. Ultimately, what it matters about is that confirmation hearing and what the Senate decides to do. And will they be influenced by any of that? Certainly not. Will they be influenced by some of her comments? Well, I think some of the Republicans won't vote for her, and perhaps even some of the Democrats. But ultimately, she will get the majority, and she will get confirmed, I believe, unless something unforeseeable comes out. And what that is, I don't know, because you can be guaranteed that every rock is being overturned. And so far, the things that have come out was this speech in Berkeley and another speech that she did and a couple of the cases certainly that she's worked on and some of the groups that she joined. Like, she joined the National Council of La Raza and the board of the Puerto Rican Legal Defense Fund. They're two Hispanic civil rights groups that, of course, push for vigorous affirmative action. And as a judge, she has argued for diversity on the bench, absolutely, by at times alluding to the insights that she got from her background as a Hispanic woman in this country. But that's exactly what Obama said he was looking for. And if you look at the majority in this country, you look at the constituency, etc., and you look at getting reelected, what direction do you think the person who has the appointment to give would go? So this is not a surprise to anyone. Do you think it'd be a surprise to people if I said 5 years ago nobody would think that GM would be the company that would be looking for bankruptcy and a new start? I think so. I think people would say, no, GM is a rock-solid company, and it can withstand some of the blows that may come GM's way. Well, that would be absolutely wrong, because Monday they're headed into a bankruptcy protection hearing, and they're taking a bet that by temporarily, anyway, nationalizing certainly one of the big icons of American capitalism, as the New York Times called it, taking a big gamble by going the bankruptcy route. It will be filed in New York, you can bet it, and that'll happen on Monday morning. A lot of people will be talking about that. We're going to talk about that here on America Tonight. Coming up on the flip side, though, the differences between men and women. Stick around, everybody.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, showerhead filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard to digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Guys, pay attention to this next segment here on America Tonight. And certainly those of you who are parents of boys want to pay attention to this. Really thrilled about our next guest, Dr. Abigail James. And she absolutely has the background for this. She's written a book called Teaching the Male Brain, How Boys Think, Feel, and Learn in School. She's an adjunct professor of education at the University of Virginia. This is the cool part. She's been everywhere we all want to be and we talk about constantly here on America Tonight. You know, she's an expert in this field because everybody is seeking out her advice. She's been to the United Kingdom and Australia and Canada and Spain and New Zealand and Japan and Peru, South Africa, parting all of her wisdom about this next thing that we're going to talk about. Dr. James, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I guess the very first question is, and I said this before you came on, is what's the biggest thing that we don't understand? What is the biggest difference between the male and female brains? How do we differ? How do we know that this is a real thing?
Well, we know it's a real thing because there are guys who weren't looking for it who found it. That's always impresses me when there were guys who say, gee, we didn't know this was out there. We certainly weren't looking for it when we found it.
Right.
And they're at the National Institutes of Health, so you can probably decide that they're okay. You know, they're probably good scientists, if nothing else.
Right.
Secondly, what's the big difference? Well, you know, they're just all kinds of differences in their brain. Guys, little, and what's really, they're mostly different when they're very, very little. When we come into this world, little girls have the left side of their brain is developing faster, and little boys, the right side of their brain is developing faster. And the big difference that means is that the left side of the brain is where the verbal center begins, so little girls just talk more than little boys do. Anybody who's had little kids around knows that. And the problem is that that means that when these kids go off to school, that the little girls are readier for school, at least for the verbal parts of school. And it doesn't take long for little boys to figure out that school's not for them.
So, boys, how do you change that? What do you do to to help some of these young guys when they start off in school in the early
ages? Well, their parents need to help first, and they really need to talk to them a lot. Because little boys don't talk back to you, parents don't always think that they need to talk to them, but in fact you need to talk to little boys more because they need to hear language. I've got a couple of articles on education.com, which is a website. You can go to my website and there's a link to it. It talks about some of these things about developing the language, the beginning of language that we need, helping little boys do that. And then schools do it. They need to help boys develop those language skills. But they also need to understand that little boys and little girls are not the same, and little boys are wiggly. They need to move around a little bit more than little girls. And you need to build that into your classroom. Let them wiggle a little. I know schools that don't even make them sit down.
Really? And that works?
Yep. One of the schools I work with, there was a dad who's a carpenter who got so impressed with something I said that he went and made for his son and then for a bunch of other boys these little desks that sit on top of their desks so that the boys can stand up, and now they have a writing surface. I mean, after all, Thomas Jefferson did that. He had a standing desk. And so if it was good enough for him, probably okay for the boys.
Yeah. No kidding. Hey, you know what I wonder about? What about the whole video game thing? Like, I have... In fact, I have three nephews, and two of them, anyway, are into video games. They're all about the Wii. They're quiet kids, but they're all about video games, all that sort of stuff. Is it good? You know, should there be a certain amount of time that you can play the video games, and would it be better to pull them away from them a little bit?
Well, let's put it this way. Nobody ought to do anything as much as some little boys play video games. I have a boy. I know these things. And my son, who is 24, actually is very careful to tell me that he knows boys who spend way too much time on them. We all need to spend a little time doing a lot of different things. The problem with this is that the video games feed into the way boys' bodies work. There's a lot of movement for your eyes, and boys' eyes move, and they actually are designed to find movement. So they really like that. And then, you know, some mom is pretty happy when they're sitting quietly playing that. So there's a lot of benefit for doing it. Parents aren't even aware of the fact that they are actually reinforcing their children for doing this by saying, you know, sure, you know, you're quiet, that's fine, you know, it's okay with me. Because when boys are not in front of those video games, what are they doing? They're running around, yelling, screaming, wrestling. And by the way, little boys need to wrestle. It is not fighting. They need to wrestle. There's some research out there that talks about the fact that little boys who wrestle actually have better social skills than boys who don't wrestle.
All right, so it's better to let them, in some ways, what you're saying is they need to be boys. They need to be able to wrestle. They need to do lots of different things. Don't just plop them in front of a video game when they're young and let that continue as they get older and older and older. I wonder if, and you would certainly know this better than I would, but with the video game playing and doing the one thing consistently all the time, does that lead at all to the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder that we've seen a lot of and heard a lot of in school, and it always seems to be directed at the little boys?
Well, first of all, let's get something real straight. Most of the kids who are identified with a hyperactivity disorder don't really have it. What they have is wiggly boy syndrome. And what they really need, I feel for their teachers. If you had 30 kids in a classroom and five of them couldn't sit still because this is the only place where they're not, plugged into a computer, then I don't blame the teachers, but it's not the solution. Attention deficit disorder really honestly exists, but it's not nearly as common as it seems to be. And the problem with these video games is that the kid spends all of his time at home in front of them, and then when he's pulled away and he goes to school, now he has a couple of problems. One is he hasn't run off a lot of energy, and second of all, he doesn't know how to behave because all he's done is react to the video game.
Yeah, boy, excellent points. How about this, when you talk about the girls and the boys, the males and the females, obviously responding to stress differently, but does that create differences in the classroom and certainly when they're home?
Well, it really does. One of the things that I have a new book coming out in next month called Teaching the Female Brain, How Girls Learn Math and Science. And one of the things that I point out is that we have recently realized that many women, not all, don't react to stress the way men do. Men react with fight or flight. If a boy gets upset, it's very obvious. He's running around, his heart's beating hard, his, you know, he's sending blood to his muscles and his brain so he can think and move. We discovered that many women don't react this way, that under the influence of oxytocin, which is a hormone you find in girls' bodies, that they do the exact opposite, that the blood all goes to the center of their body, and they can't move and they can't think. The classic symptom for little girls is they get a stomachache, and they really can't think. I've taught math and science to girls, and I wish I had known this when I taught them, because we had a number of girls who just look at me with this look and saying, I wish I could answer the questions, but I've just forgotten. And it's not that they forget, because the minute that the test is over and they get up and walk around and they start moving their blood around their body again, they can think. So now that we know what the problem is, we can also deal with it.
Yeah, wow. Interesting, fascinating stuff. Doc, we appreciate you coming on with us. If somebody wants to get a copy of the book that you have out now, Teaching the Male Brain, or the one coming out, Female Brain, where can they go?
Well, you can go to Amazon, of course. Everybody
of course
can get a book at Amazon. Or you can go to my website, which is www.rockhouseassociates.org, and there's a link.
All right,
and there are a lot of links to a lot of other stuff there, too.
That's good. That's a good wealth of information I'm sure that a lot of people could use. And now I know my nephew, I'm going to go and tell my brother it's Wiggly Boy Syndrome so they know to get off his back. Doc, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dr. Abigail James. And it's interesting, some of the things that she talked about, I think it's too bad what happens with little boys now in some of these classrooms getting lost in the shuffle. And then the same thing, obviously, with girls with the math and science and the push there. And who knew that some of these things existed? Well, certainly the teachers didn't. And she made a great point. When you have these kids in these classrooms and they're quick to say, well, you know, they probably have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and then it turns out, no, it's no such thing. It's just that they're being a boy, and you've got to let them be a boy, and that's what they do. So if they have to stand up, then you figure out a way for them to stand up. It makes sense, doesn't it? Hey, the Summer of Love coming up this summer in Taos, New Mexico. It's been 40 years since the movie Easy Rider. We're going to talk about that next here on ATN.
Have you ever noticed that celebrities are endorsing weight loss products and health aids? Do you think they endorse these products for free? I don't think so. I'm here to tell you, I'm not a celebrity, and Life Change Tea doesn't need one. Think about this. The product speaks for itself. What a concept. Our product works. You get healthy, and you'll lose weight. Summer's coming. Look and feel good. Order now. 928-308-0408. Write this down. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. It's easy. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. You have nothing to lose but the excess around your, anyway. Life Change Tea. It speaks for itself. That's GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to GCN, Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe.
trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit ecoloblue.com. EcoloBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecoloblue.com today.
Looking for adventure. Certainly, 40 years ago, that's what it was all about. If you remember the movie Easy Rider, different times, and a lot of people would love to go back to those times, the hippie years. Coming up in Taos, New Mexico, historic hippie homecoming holidays. Do you love that? That's like a tongue twister just trying to say that. So, who better to join us than Bill Whaley? I'm told he is the resident hippie in Taos and certainly the expert there. At least that's what Pete St. Cyr told me anyway. Hey, how you doing, Bill? Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Is that true? Are you the resident? I'm good. Are you the resident hippie expert?
Well, I wouldn't say I was the expert. I'm one of the observers, and I've been here since the fall of 1966. But I have an alternative or independent newspaper, and I'm in touch with most of the folks, and we're sponsoring the Hippie Homecoming this year on June 21st.
Yeah, let's talk about, okay, so 1966, take us back. What was that, what was 66 really like?
Well, you know, there's a couple different things going on here. One, you had the, you know, what was going on in the country as far as the anti-war movement, which then turned into, you know, acid tests and the sort of alternative lifestyle, counterculture movement. In Taos itself, we became the sort of vanguard for the back to the earth or the agrarian movement, where people were decided to, you know, tune in, turn on, and drop out, and go back to the land. And they were sort of giving up their activism and leading by example, so to speak, you know, and it became more of a spiritual and kind of self-sustaining movement, so-called.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Hey, and, you know, we're going back in the time machine, and, of course, Easy Rider symbolizes what happened 40 years ago, and Easy Rider and Taos have a history. And I know Dennis Hopper was there recently, and there are a lot of cool things that you could play off of with the whole Easy Rider theme. Do you remember that? Do you remember anything about Easy Rider? Were you around when they were filming any of that at all?
Yeah, well, they filmed it here in a local cantina called La Contenta, about a mile from downtown Taos. The opening scene. And there were a lot of locals in the film, actually. In fact, I was in the movie theater business at that time, or just afterwards. Anyway, they filmed the opening scene. They had a local musician, Antonio Mendoza, who played the drug dealer in the opening scene. And then some of the locals who were hanging around the bar got to be extras. And when I showed the movie after it was released, we showed it in March of 1970, all the locals showed up every night, and we had huge crowds, and they were all out there signing autographs and so forth. So it was, you know, it was a big deal for everybody. And the film itself, as you may know, or as Dennis pointed out during our earlier get-together at the Harwood Museum where he's showing his art, it was the first time that a lot of the countercultural lifestyle was shown in what turned out to be a major film. And the film itself, of course, was a revolutionary idea because it was a low budget and a real shock to Hollywood, which was in kind of the doldrums at the time. So he and Peter Fonda and Jack Nicholson, it was the big breakthrough movie for Jack Nicholson. He won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. And it really set Hollywood on its ear, and, of course, they made a lot of money, and both Jack, Peter and Dennis all went on to make independent films afterwards as sort of a reward.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, and so Hopper's art is pretty cool. I've seen a bunch of it, and that's, I'm sure at the gallery, that's got to be a huge hit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Dennis and a bunch of his friends from L.A. are showing the art. Several of them live here. They've been here since about 1970, 71. You know, there was a big art movement in Los Angeles that really began in the late 50s, early 60s. Dennis himself was part of the art scene. He was in and out of the movie business, and when he wasn't working or wasn't acting, he was making art. And in fact, he made a prior movie there was an outfit called American International Pictures, which was run by Roger Corman, and he and Peter and Jack all were in motorcycle movies. And Dennis made one called The Trip, which is kind of the first LSD acid movie. A lot of people probably don't remember that. It was one of those kind of exploitation films, but that's where they sort of, you know, learned their chops about movie making with these kind of motorcycle movies.
Yeah. Hey, so tell us about the, for people listening, too, that want to go to Taos, in all the things that we've just talked about, this hippie homecoming, the events that are unfolding. How did you pull it all together? Because you start off with this, I guess you've got a, is it a masked ball, or is it you're just wearing a mask?
Well,
it sounds really cool.
Yeah, what happened is the town came up with this idea to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Easy Rider, and they're calling it the Summer of Love in Taos. And we sort of go back to 1969, which was the year that everything changed around here, and there was sort of this influx of hippies or counterculture people. And so what we're doing from the 19th to the 24th, we've got several events, including a mass ball, which is a traditional artist ball here in Taos that hasn't been active in the last few years. And that's followed by a motorcycle rally and showing of the film Easy Rider on Saturday. And then we've got a bunch of photography. We have several photographers here who were taking pictures both in San Francisco and Taos at the time, in the late 60s, early 70s. And then and the big event is on June 21st. We have a hippie homecoming. We have a body painting. And we're bringing back a band that was sort of locally famous at the time and also played in San Francisco and used to open for Jerry Garcia before it became the Jerry Garcia's band became the Grateful Dead. So they're reassembling, and then we're going to finish off with a boogie on Wednesday, June 24th. So it's 3 or 4 days, and especially for people who pass through during that time, it's a chance to kind of come and visit old friends and tell war stories and relive those shared emotional experiences.
Yeah, no kidding. And talking about the counterculture movement, did you make friends, let's say in the 60s, with people that now you still run into today, and then you say, oh, I remember that. Remember back in 1968 when this happened or whatever? Do you still hang
well,
with some
absolutely.
Of those people?
Well, absolutely. You know, there was this kind of wonderful feeling. And what was going on? I was here in Taos mostly, but every year people from Taos used to I worked at the ski valley in the wintertime. I was kind of a ski bum there in the late 60s. And as were, you know, many sort of counterculture types. And people used to kind of move back and forth. They'd go to San Francisco to the Hate for the summer or for a couple weeks or a couple months, then come back to Taos, or they'd go to New York. And there was all this sort of cross-cultural fertilization going on, you know. I mean, we have, for instance, Lisa Law did a book, famous book called Flashing on the 60s, and, you know, Janis Joplin came through, Bob Dylan came through, all these different people came through. It's like everybody had to dip their toe into Taos at the time.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, and you think of the music at that time. You mentioned Jerry Garcia, and, of course, the Dead became such a movement. I mean, it wasn't, besides the music, I mean, it was all about following the band and knowing the band, and that continued for a very long time and really still exists, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it does, as far as I know. You know, the
yeah.
Deadheads are still going. In fact, I think I'm not sure what they call the band today. They just played in Denver, I think, a couple weeks ago. And you know, what was hilarious to me, I was originally from Nevada, Nevada was kind of a redneck state and very conservative at the time. And back in the late 90s, the Dead were playing at a casino at State Line at Lake Tahoe. And I thought that was hilarious, given the way, you know, the hippies and the longhairs were treated prior to that, you know, 40
yeah,
years
no
ago,
kidding.
30 years ago.
You know, they say that you, what's old is new and all that sort of stuff, and you go back. Do you think we'll ever go back to sort of a counterculture movement, a sort of a hippie movement?
Well, you know, in some ways, the hippie movement was really about simplicity. And, you know, the way the economy is going today, we're sort of headed in that direction. Some of the trends that began then or became mainstream, which were, of course, part of this community because it is a rural, isolated farming community and agricultural community. You know, some of the things people were doing then as far as growing their own food and their own livestock. I think in rural communities, that's becoming more popular now. I mean, I know the local stores that sell gardening supplies and stuff are doing very well, and everybody's buying chickens and everything. So I don't know if that's a trend across the country, but, you know, in these kind of economic times, it opens it up for those ideas.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I would think this would be good fodder, too, for your newspaper, right? I'm sure you'll have a lot of stuff
happening,
right?
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun. You know, we always try to write about the past or something, you know, everybody's dusting off their memories and their photographs. And, of course, a lot of the people who came at that time stayed, you know, and they moved into the mainstream community as, you know, plumbers, attorneys, realtors, developers, all the usual professions, so to speak, you know, and artists. I mean, we've always had lots of artists here. I mean, Taos has been an art colony since legend has it since 1898, when two of the founders, Bert Phillips and Ernest Blumenschein got a broken wagon wheel and then stayed, and one thing led to another. So there's always been a stream of artists going back and forth from both coasts.
Yeah, no kidding. It sounds like so much fun. Bill, thanks for hanging with us for a few here on ATN.
Well, thanks a lot for giving us a call, and please come out and see us this summer.
I would love to, absolutely. Historic hippie homecoming holidays. I love saying that. And that's coming up. That just starts things off with the Summer of Love in Taos, New Mexico on June 19th. Hey, what'd you do this weekend? I'm going to fill you in on my weekend coming up next.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter.
Now, I wasn't at a Diana Krall concert and the dinosaurs broke in, but I was at a dinosaur park. Oh, yeah. I don't know what you did for your weekend, but I was at Dinosaur Valley State Park. Yeah, I was running to check out some dinosaur tracks. I don't know how many of you listening have ever seen dinosaur tracks, but I have to say it was pretty cool. I basically had to rappel down an 80-foot canyon, and, of course, I didn't have the right shoes on, flip-flops. I managed to survive somehow. I had my mother in tow, a mother-in-law also, and, oh, yeah, there was a guy with us, too, the significant other who had to hold up everybody. We made it to the bottom of the river, and we saw the Cerapod track. There were some other tracks as well, unidentifiable. I don't know what they were, because I'll look them up and I'll Google them and see if I can figure out what they were. I'll do a little paleontology type work and see if I can identify the tracks that I saw. But these dinosaur tracks, pretty cool stuff. And it's in just outside of Fort Worth, Texas. And apparently what happened is you had this layered rock in this park, and in this, it started to form, obviously. It was deposited about 113 million years ago. So think of who was roaming the Earth then, at least in this particular area. So they have these dinosaur tracks from this limestone that has come up, and you can see them in several different locations, I guess. And I happened to see them at this state park, and it was, I have to say, it was pretty cool. It's the Paluxy River, and it's right there. It's, I guess, one of the tributaries of the Brazos River, and some of you may know what I'm talking about because you might be listening on KVCE in Dallas, Texas, or somewhere else if you've traveled around to see these things. But I don't know, Matt, have you ever seen dinosaurs other than in Jurassic Park?
Yeah, not particularly. I was saying earlier how I think I saw some robotic dinosaurs once. But that's like the only thing I can trigger up is just robotic dinosaurs. And then obviously, you know, skeletons like at a museum somewhere, you know, the fossils. But I don't think I've ever done anything like you have where you get to see the tracks and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's very cool. I mean, this is why I bring it up on the air. I know over the weekend that all of you are out sightseeing or sudsing it up and sitting on the couch and watching sports or doing whatever you're doing, taking your grandchildren out, your children out. And this was a really fun thing because to actually see the tracks, I think more than like the robotic dinosaurs, like you said, or there's other dinosaurs on display in other places, but, you know, the recreations of them. Like, I've been in the Natural History Museum in Manhattan in New York City, and I'm sure kids love it, and it is, there are a lot of really cool things to see there. But to actually see the tracks, I'll tell you, is something else. And you mentioned fossils, Matt, and this is Fossil Central there. It's the Earth is rich with fossils. So I'll be anxious at some point to go back and check it out and see if I can find some more tracks. I also did this thing where, how many people can relate to this? Did you ever take your kids? I know some of you right now are going to die laughing when you're in the car driving in Kentucky, like Stu with his gaggle of kids, and probably Don in Wyoming with his nephews. But they have these parks that you go to, and there's wildlife there, and they come up to the window of your car, or they sit on your car, or the hood of your car, or that kind of stuff. And when I was a kid, my mother took us to a place called Great Adventure. People on the East Coast might know it. There, all I remember was the ostriches and the baboons jumped on the roof and all that sort of stuff. Well, I went to Fossil Rim Park before this dinosaur thing, and I saw some of the coolest animals. I mean, just even the zebras. Zebras coming up to the window of the car. There were emus there, and I've never seen the emus actually move their feathers, kind of fan their feathers out, and all kinds of amazing deer. There was giraffe there, and luckily the car did not get rammed by a rhinoceros, but they were out there as well. A little bit of a cage for the southern white rhino from South Africa, because I don't think he would survive if it actually slammed into the car. Now, Matt, you might have done that, because I think they have. Now, this is different because it's one of those eco-friendly parks, and it's out there, and it takes you like 3.5 hours. But there are a lot of places where you can go and drive through and have animals come up to your car. Have you ever done that? Anything like that?
Yeah, I remember feeding moose. I can't remember where I was though. But the moose were coming up to our car. We had, like, bread or something, and you could feed them.
Right.
Just, you know, you, like, roll down your window enough so they can't, like, get all the way in, but that you can feed them and they're friendly with you, things like that.
Well, the funny thing is, and going to see the dinosaur tracks after that, and you played that funny stuff, it did kind of feel very Jurassic Park-ish because you kept seeing these signs. You are being monitored for your safety. Do not get out of the vehicle. Do not feed the zebras as they will bite you. And people were feeding the zebras anyway. And you don't get out of the car. I mean, are you kidding? You're scared to death to get out of the car. You see these giant antlers coming at you. And you wouldn't dare think of doing that. And it did, because it was, I guess, 9.5 miles long, and it takes you over 3 hours to do, when you're really out there, that you really sort of do feel like you're in that movie because you don't know what's going to approach when you look out the window. So what an experience that turned out to be. If you have been to one of those parks, please tell me where it is, because I'm curious if anyone else has had a similar experience. Shoot me an email, AmericaTonight.net. AmericaTonight.net. It was fun. So a day of dinosaurs and creatures, live creatures, coming up to the window. One of the things I didn't do was go to the movies this week. I know some of you may have gone to the movies. And, you know, speaking of dinosaurs, Night at the Museum, the sequel, came in at number 2 this week. And, of course, it was an opening week, but 25.5 million. That still is going to eke out a big box office for certain. But there was this other movie that I really didn't know too much about, and it's called Up, Up, and Away. And that was a big week for them. They've got, so far, ticket sales, 68.2 million. It's another one of these Pixar Disney movies. And it's a 3D movie. And it, really got a jump, I guess, domestically in over 1,500 theaters with the 3D deal. So, just a huge record. The voice in this one is, because you always want to know who the voices are, the voice is Ed Asner. Some people would remember him, gosh, I don't know, from the Mary Tyler Moore Show going way back, but he has a great voice. He's done a lot of voiceover stuff and got rave reviews, I guess, the whole 3D thing. So you think kids getting out of school on Friday, some of them about to get out of school, that's probably going to just shoot up a little bit more. Any of the kid movies. That's why the Night of the Museum, the Battle of the Smithsonian, I think, held up so well, because if you combine last week and you combine it all together, the cum so far for this movie is over 100 million, and that wouldn't be a surprise. And we've talked about the big movies that have been released recently. Angels and Demons, they're over the $100 million mark. And Star Trek, of course, same thing. I guess they're set to become the first movie of 2009 to actually passed the $200 million mark. Wonder how many people actually went out and saw that. You know, Matt and I talked about it opening week, wanting to go see it. Now, I went to see it, and I thought it was pretty good. It was interesting to see the prequel kind of deal, especially the Spock, of course, and Captain Kirk and all that. But maybe because there was so much talk about it, it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be. We've talked about that before when we've reviewed movies. Sometimes when the buzz is just so over the top, I don't know what it is that you expect when you go to the movies, but you think you're just going to be rocked out of your seat, and you're not. And I think it's because there's just too much of a build-up, probably, right? If you went to see any of the movies that I just talked about recently, you can send me a cheap review, and we might read it on the air, americatonight.net.